Explore the tropics at Whole Foods Market through April 16th. Save on juicy finds like yellow mangoes at 5 for $5 with Prime. Sweet Dacopan citrus is back, just $3.49 per pound with Prime. Plus, save on seasonal favorites like dragon fruit, kiwi, pineapple, and more. In the meat department, pick up animal welfare certified meats with tropical-inspired marinades. And be sure to try the spicy Hawaiian pizza, back for a limited time, only at Whole Foods Market.
When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, visit BetterHelp.com/stuff today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/stuff.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuck Bryant and Jerry Rollins lurking in the background, and this is Stuff You Should Know.
Smarty Pants a dish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're doing Mensa, right?
Oh, God, no. I thought we were, doing a cage-free redux.
Oh, no.
Yes, this is about Mensa. That's what I have pulled up too, Chuck, so this works out just fine.
All right, let's do it.
So Dave Roos helped us out with this one. And he mentioned a bit of news that if you looked up Mensa recently, it'd be hard to miss. But I believe it was their youngest member ever was inducted into Mensa. Mensa, by the way, for those of you who don't know, is bills itself as the High IQ Society.
It stands for, it doesn't stand for anything.
So, which is super smart if you stop and think about it.
Yeah, it feels like it should be an acronym, but it's not.
It definitely. I'm with you. But we'll just go ahead and say it. It means table in Latin.
Yeah.
And in Spanish slang, it's a female goofball or dumb person, strangely enough.
Oh, the ironies.
Hat tip to Dave Roos for pointing that one out.
Yeah.
So, as I was saying, it's a high IQ society. It's a society for smarty pants, as you put it. And yep. they inducted their youngest member recently, who was 2 years old. 2 years yeah. old.
I mean, sure.
And they don't discriminate by age, which is great. Bully for them. And I believe on their website they say their membership ranges in ages 2 to 102.
I knew they were going to say that.
And I wonder if there's like a 104-year-old Mensa member who's like, what the F?
Yeah, I didn't fit in with the cool... whatever, it's not even a rhyme. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've always felt really bad about the people in, what is that Christmas song, kids from 1 to 92? Oh.
Yeah.
It's like 93-year-olds still appreciate Christmas, you know? Why cut that whole group out? Then yeah. you stop and think, this is written in the mid-century, and there was like almost no one living to 92 because they were all having coronaries from cigars and scotches and steaks all at once.
It's kind of a random age, though.
It is, but it rhymed, which is what I think Mensa did here, too. But regardless, this 2-year-old, Cache Quest, just cute as a button, has an IQ of 146. Which means she's got it all, basically. And with an IQ of 146, that puts her well above the minimum requirement to be accepted into Mensa, which is usually about an IQ of about 132.
Yeah. So you may have seen that in the news. If you, and, you know, Dave is right to point out, if you mention Mensa, the first thing most people will say, and I don't know how this got so into the public consciousness.
I do.
But they will generally say, oh, you know, Gina Davis is a Mensa member.
Mm-hmm.
She must have mentioned it in an interview or something, but it's been a long time because I've heard that for a long, long time as like the sort of go-to fact for Mensa.
Yeah. I also heard another thing about Gina Davis. She used to bake cookies and bring them to like meetings. She was well known for that as well.
I heard another thing about Gina Davis because our friend and friend of the show, Jesse Thorne, interviewed her on his great interview show, Bullseye.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that Gina Davis is the best person
Mm-hmm.
And he said, she is exactly what you hoped she would be. And everyone just felt like it was their cool aunt.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Everyone in the office, like, she was just the nicest person.
Yeah.
And it, she sounds like the kind of person who would bake cookies in her Mensa style.
Yeah. And Jesse Thorne's hearing this and is like, hey, she didn't bring cookies to our meeting.
Maybe she did.
So yes, Gina Davis is world-renowned as the most famous member of Mensa, even though plenty of famous people have been members of Mensa over the years. Bucky Fuller, Arthur C. Clarke was the vice president of Mensa International for a while. Sharon Stone famously told people in the 90s that she was in Mensa and
was finally
called out by Mensa, saying, like, no, you're not in Mensa. Yes, she did lie, apparently, for a good decade until somebody finally said something about it. And then James Woods is often confused as a member of Mensa, but I don't believe he actually is.
Who else? The guy who created the antivirus software, McAfee?
Mm-hmm.
John McAfee?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's a handful of people. And then, as we'll talk about later, there are a lot of journalists who say, well, I qualified to be in Mensa, but I didn't want to be involved.
Yeah, because that's the one thing about Mensa is a lot of the popular press that's done on that group takes easy pot shots at them because they are a group of they're a high IQ group and they're by definition very smart people.
Sure.
But also in joining a club like that, it bestows a bit of an air of superiority onto you. So there's a certain undercurrent of that. And so people who write about them or cover them usually take pot shots at them and generally lump them all into one big group. But that's not necessarily fair to say because they are a varied collection of people for sure. There are weird undercurrents that are distasteful here or there. But overall, they seem to be okay from what I can tell.
Yeah, and there are all kinds of Mensans, which is what they're called, from all kinds of backgrounds and socioeconomic strata. I guess we could break down the percentages here if you want to get specific. It is 66% male. This is from their stats. 34% female. 82% have a four-year degree or more. 63% graduate degree or more. 38% boomers. 31% Gen X. 13% millennial. And then the rest. But it's
like
not
Gilligan.
It's not a big group, though. Like their total membership is a little less than 150,000 worldwide, with about 50,000 of those being in the States and 19,000 being in the UK where it was founded. But it's a lot more people could be in Mensa that aren't in Mensa. Does that make sense?
Dave did the math as if to show off that he could be a member of Mensa if he wanted to. But what Mensa membership means is that you have tested in aptitude for intelligence within the top 2% of people.
Right.
So in the United States, say there's 300 million, just to make it easy, but I think there's much more than that now. That would be 6 million people who would qualify as members of Mensa. And yet, like you said, there's only about 50,000 in there.
Yeah, I mean, and I get if some people think that's a weird thing to say because you still have to take these tests. You have to be good at test taking. But if you just go by numbers of the top 2% of intelligence, then sure.
Yes, but it also reveals something that it's not for everybody. Like, just by virtue of being smart or testing really well on an intelligence test, that doesn't mean you automatically want to be a member of a group that shares that thing in common. That's an extra, there's a very slight tranche of people who qualify or who would qualify who actually do want to join Mensa. But the ones who do join Mensa seem to tremendously enjoy it and feel very accepted and happy there.
Yeah, and that's also in itself a pot shot that journalists have taken commonly, which is these are people who are smart enough to be in Mensa and want to be able to tell everybody that they're in Mensa.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sure there is some of that to some degree. There are people that like to flaunt their Harvard degree or, you know, drop the H-bomb, as they say, or their Ivy League education or their Mensa membership. But I'm sure there are, out of 150,000 people, there are lots of Gina Davises that probably are just like, oh, yeah, I'm in that, but it's really no big deal.
Yeah. The worst of the worst are people who are in Mensa, went to Harvard, are on keto and are into CrossFit.
Oh, God. Make it stop. And, yeah, and who recently quit social media.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. I can.
Party of one.
Should we talk about the history?
Yes.
Party of one. That's a good joke. So Mensa got its start in 1946, like I mentioned, in the UK. And it sort of happened by chance on a train. There was a postgrad student from Oxford named Lancelot Ware, who was coming home for Christmas break, shared a cabin with a 50-year-old named Roland Beryl, or Beryl. And Beryl was like, oh, you go to Oxford. You know what? I wanted to go to Oxford. I couldn't get into Oxford. And it sort of haunted me. And he said, you know, I'm into all kinds of stuff, though. I'm a smart guy. I'm into phrenology and astrology. And Ware said, that's very interesting. I'm into testing intelligence, the younger Lancelot said. He said, I was in the army in Britain, and we did aptitude testing on troops. I became fascinated by it. When I went to Oxford, I was surrounded by smart people, and I thought it would be really cool to form a high IQ society within a school of people that were already super intelligent. And Beryl said, very interesting.
I envisioned him clapping his hands together and saying, splendid.
Okay, sure.
Because you left something out about him. One of the things that usually is touted about Beryl was into, is that he had a plan to make all men wear very brightly colored clothing. Could not for the life of me find out why or what the point was, but it's definitely a thing. Yeah. So Beryl said, you know, this is a very great idea. I think we should explore this further. And young Lancelot Ware, postdoc, student at Oxford, said, well, you know, older gentleman who I've only just met on this train, why don't you come stay with me at Oxford when I get back to school after Christmas break? And Beryl took him up on it. And it was there that they hatched the plan for Mensa after Beryl was given an intelligence test by Lancelot Ware. And when Lancelot Ware calculated the results and said, Mr. Beryl, you are within the top 1% of all people in terms of intelligence, it's widely reported that Roland Beryl cried because he was so happy and touched by that.
Right, and had funding to start this thing up, which was key. And so how it really went down was he told them that he cried and said, oh, can I see the results? And Ware quickly wadded them up and said, that's not important. Right. Take my word for it. You're in the top 1%. Make the check out to moi.
And Beryl said, splendid.
But they needed a name. And like you said, they landed on Mensa. I think initially they wanted to call it capital M-E-N-S, which was short for the Mental Health Society.
That's just not even close.
No, it's pretty
bad. Where's the H?
Yeah, where's the H? And also there was, I think, a gentleman's magazine called Men's. that's in scare quotes. And so they said, well, how about Mensa, which, like you pointed out, is Latin for table. Mm-hmm. Because I just envision us, like, all these smarty pants sitting around a round table talking about wonderful things. And they said, I guess they said, sure, that's as good a name as any.
So originally, if you've ever seen that Simpsons episode where Lisa joins Mensa.
I don't remember that one.
It's a pretty good one. It's a cautionary tale about
Mensa
letting an intelligent elite determine the fate of everybody else at the while just completely discounting anyone who's not an intelligent elite, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And like comic book guy and Dr. Hibbert and a couple other characters, Sideshow Mel, they're all in Mensa with her, and they basically take over the town, if I'm not mistaken, and it just goes awry. It ends up going terribly awry. But that's kind of originally what Lancelot Ware and Roland Beryl were envisioning when they founded Mensa, this group of the most intelligent Britons.
I forgot
that's how I say it. Yeah. In the UK, who would kind of be assembled to be a group that the government or scientific projects or whoever wanted to tap their intelligence could tap their intelligence. That was the original idea for Mensa.
That's right. And by the way, the keen-eared listener would have just picked up on my one word impression of Julia Sibbert.
What did you say?
I'm not going to repeat it. Scott, you got to be a keen listener.
Oh, man.
So if you heard it, then hats off to you. You're not allowed to rewind if you're listening at home.
Can I rewind?
You can't rewind. Nobody can rewind. You had to have heard it live.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And like two people will have gotten it. And
that's
one
fine.
Person
and the rest of
good.
Us are all mad now.
Oh, that's okay. I'll do it for you off mic. So yeah, they wanted a kind of a, from the sounds of it, almost like a Rolodex of smarties, mm-hmm. Because they wanted to not just have that list, but they even said in their charter, they wanted it in the hands of anthropologists and ministers of the crown. Like, they wanted people that mattered to have this list on hand. Mm-hmm. Like, who do, you know, I need a smart person. Let me look at my Mensa list. And their goal, I think, did you mention, was 600 people with their contact information so they could get in touch. And it took them 13 years to get to that benchmark in 1959 is when they finally got it. And it wasn't until some American expats joined in England, got written up by the Village Voice and the New York Times, that it kind of really started to gain a little bit more traction in the States and then around the world.
So it's crazy that it took them 13 years to, what, 1959 to hit 600, because right after that, and I guess it was because of the interest among Americans that initially started out, like you said, with expats, and then after a couple of articles captured everybody else's attention, that it just took off. Like, if you saw a chart, it would look like that hockey stick of global warming, I think it is. Remember that from the 90s, the hockey stick graph?
Sure. Yeah,
so yeah. That's pretty much what Mensa membership would look like it from 1959 to 1960. And it was largely thanks to a few people over the years. But one of the first people who really kind of helped Mensa take off as an organization was a guy named John Cadella, who was an American PR guy. And he took this group that was... it almost had like fraternity-like origins. Like, apparently, Roland Burrell had a like part of the early rules was to have a woman seated on a throne wearing a leopard skin and nothing else.
Okay.
As part of the meetings, like it had that kind of vibe to it.
Sure, that vibe.
And when Cadella, sure, you know, and it kind of Anton LaVey vibe, I guess. And so when John Cadella came in the picture, he like kind of dusted off all that stuff and turned it into a legitimate type of organization. Definitely legitimized it, if not made it legitimate.
Right. So in 59, they had 600. By 67, a mere 8 years later, it had swelled up to 12,000 and change. And, you know, that he would get people on TV. It was that kind of thing. Like, he was a genuine PR guy. So all of a sudden, there were Mensa members, some very charismatic, that were being sort of bandied about in articles and on television.
Well, there's one in particular. He was the chairman, I believe, and he was the guy who I think would go on like Johnny Carson and stuff like that.
That's right. That's who I was talking about. Victor Serebryakov?
I think so. I've seen it compared to Cerebrum or Cerebral. So I think it's Serebryakov.
Yeah, there's an extra vowel in there that's gumming up the works.
That's right up my alley, though.
Should we take a break?
Sure.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Let's talk about hustle culture, shall we? You know, the whole rise and grind, go big or go home thing? It's a lifestyle that might not be for you.
That's right, but one that your money can handle thanks to Betterment. Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle.
How? Good question. Their automated technology optimizes your investments again and again. With Betterment, your money is taking ice baths at 5 a.m. while you get your well-deserved rest. Your money downs protein smoothies and automatically reinvests your dividends, all before you head out the door. Your money is a workaholic.
But you don't have to be, because you've got Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. So visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friends' money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Hey everybody, it's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace.
All right, so Mensa is gaining members very steadily. It is growing throughout the decades. You could, if you wanted to be a member, you could mail them some money. And I know a cynical view would be like they're just like trying to make money, but it's an organization that you know that needs money to run. I doubt if they like have some super rich fund that they dig into, because when you look at the things they do, it's really nothing like super lavish. They don't have like yacht parties and stuff from what I can tell.
No, but I've never run across any kind of intimation that it's a money-making scheme of any sort.
Yeah, I just mean for the listener, like, oh yeah, mail them a check and they'll send you a test. But That's how it works. You mail them a check. Back in the day, They would send you a test. I think it was Serebrikov who said, you know what we can also do is we can have these supervised, like actually someone would come and administer a test. It would be a little more official, might cost a little more money. We need a constitution. So they said, not a bad idea. And if you read their constitution, the three tenets are really pretty great. It's identify and foster human intelligence for the benefit of humanity. No problem there. Encourage research in the nature, characteristics, and uses of intelligence. Mm-hmm. Check. And provide a stimulating intellectual and social environment for members. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, of course. And then number four, force breeding of people according to intelligence.
Yeah, no problems, right? No, they didn't do that.
No. So there was kind of a heyday, it seems like, in the 60s, I think. And apparently there was a lot of tension at first between UK and US. And within just a couple of years of coming on the scene, the Kansas City chapter staged a revolt against the UK headquarters.
They grabbed their six shooters and...
Basically, I saw that they launched like a poison pen attack where they would write... Yes, they would write the employers of these Mensa, like higher-ups, and like and basically accuse them of terrible stuff. And finally got the American chapters to basically be independent and equal. And that formed Mensa International. But the 60s were kind of a heyday. The 70s seemed to be ho-hum. And then apparently the 80s took off because from what I saw in this article, and I can't remember what maybe the Independent from 1996, it said that the kind of the through line of an organization like Mensa, the idea that some people are just naturally more intelligent than others, mm-hmm. really jibes with that Reagan-Thatcher era of mentality, of getting away from the idea that, you know, you can achieve if you're given the right kind of stuff. It's like, no, you got this problem over here. We got the, you know, we're over here. We're not going to help you because why would we? Because you're beyond help. You're not naturally gifted. That kind of conservative thread that was really present in the Thatcher-Reagan 80s made Mensa a lot more respectable or a lot more appealing during that time from what I saw.
Yeah, and I think in England, it peaked in the 90s, or 1990 specifically, mm-hmm. with about 30,000 there, and now is fewer than 20,000. So Dave said, you know, some of this might be, you know, the Mensa image problem might be to blame. But, you know, it's just one of those organizations. It's going to have its ups and downs over the years, I'm sure, as far as membership numbers, you know.
Yeah. So how do you get in, Chuck? If you want to get into Mensa, what do you do, Hotshot?
You bake some cookies for Gina Davis.
Sure. That doesn't hurt.
It's really easy, actually, in practice. You just need to score within the top 2% mm-hmm. of an intelligence test. And it's not like you can just take any intelligence test. It depends on... now there's an official Mensa test,
right?
That you take, but there are also other IQ tests that can qualify, the Stanford-Binet test, the Cattell 3B test, mm-hmm. And I think we should hold off on sort of the big reveal, the big twist here for another few minutes.
Okay,
So we'll keep that in our hip pocket.
I can't wait to know what it is.
An official from your country will administer their test to you, and it takes a couple hours if you take the official Mensa test. These are those, if you've ever taken an IQ test, you know, it's not like the SAT. It's a logic and reasoning test generally, and the questions are things like, you're doing a lot of sequencing, like look yeah. at these shapes, which shape would come next, which number would come next. Mm-hmm. It does test verbal intelligence and vocabulary and stuff like that. Math is a part of it, but it's timed, which is one of the big sort of, not caveats, but the big thing you have to remember is you have to be a good test taker and you have to be able to take tests under pressure, timed pressure.
Right. Like that one scene in Swordfish with poor Hugh Jackman.
I didn't see that.
You didn't miss much at all.
Okay.
So that's the standard Mensa test, Mensa admissions test. And some people say, well, hold on, if you're a non-native English speaker and you're in America, those tests have been shown to be biased toward certain people, usually based on language. So Mensa also administers what's called the Culture Fair test.
Yeah.
And it's nothing
but... F-A-I-R, weirdly.
Yeah. It's nothing but shapes and symbols and, you know, what comes next kind of thing. And I took a test like that. It was, I think, Norwegian in origin. And I got to, like, question six before I'm like, I have no idea whatsoever what shape would come next. The first few, I was like, oh, okay, I can do this. And then it just got so increasingly difficult that I just stopped. I just had no idea what was next.
Was this recently? You did that for this?
Yeah, it was yesterday, and I had a little blood coming out of my ear. I felt really disoriented, and I woke up in a pool of my own urine.
Yeah, you can also take a 30-minute online like Mensa workout thing for free, which is sort of just an amuse-bouche to see if you might want the full deal.
A gift of the chef.
I thought about taking one of these for this episode, and then I was like, I don't want to. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, another thing, too, is like this, like taking a test like that is probably up your alley if you're interested in becoming a Mensa member.
Yeah, I don't think I'm great at tests like that, and maybe I don't want to know that I am or am not. Maybe I'm just happy with my life.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm happy doing my New York Times crossword and spelling bee and playing Wordle, and that's good enough for me.
I think that's fine. I mean, it's not like you're proving anything to anybody by becoming a member of Mensa, except maybe to yourself.
I tried. I mean, honestly, I was like, oh, that'll be fine. I'll take it, and I'll embarrass myself to our listeners by saying what I scored. And every time I went to do it, I went, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, I'm with
you. So I didn't do it.
So there's a whole hook to that whole thing, a catch, I guess is what you'd say if you use the right word. You can take those tests, the standard test or the culture fair test, one time each.
That's a big one.
And if you don't pass, meaning you don't score in the top 2% of the average American, you can never take those tests again. Like you just have been denied admission into Mensa through those tests. There is another way. There's a backdoor man way.
That
is what I think they call it at Mensa.
Yeah, this was the thing we were keeping in our hip pocket. You don't have to take this test because two-thirds of all members did not take that official Mensa test. You can also pay a fee, not just people like what, pay like $1,000 to get in? No, pay a regular $40 fee, and they can accept results from about 150 different standardized intelligence tests that they evaluate based on, you know, the general population. So they'll basically just say, give us your test that you took. We'll see if you're in the top 2% and you can get in that way. That's a big backdoor.
It sure is a big backdoor, Chuck. One of the ways that you could get in is if you qualified for your high school's gifted program.
Sure.
Or if you were super smarty pants, your middle school or even elementary school's gifted program, they gave you a bunch of different intelligence tests back then. If your school didn't burn down in a fire, it's possible they still have those records and you could have them via a sealed envelope from the school sent to send your test results to Mensa. Mensa will check it out and be like, yep, you're in, buddy. You're in.
Now, question about these gifted programs. Does that mean like the AP classes?
Yes.
All right, here's the deal, my friend. I was in AP English and AP History.
Okay.
And then when I saw, and we'll go ahead and mention this, you can submit your SAT and ACT scores, your GRE and your LSATs. Mm-hmm. And if between 74 and 94,
right,
if you scored a 1250 or higher on the SAT, you would get into Mensa even retroactively.
Yeah.
And, buddy, I scored an 1170. I wasn't as far off as I thought.
Oh, that's great. You're not in Mensa, but that's great.
No, but if I would have known that back then, I might have tried a couple of more times. I took it once.
I took it once, too. I got a 1090.
That's good, too.
No, it's average.
No. 1090, I think anything that breaks 1,000 is on the higher side. Not high, but it's higher than average, right?
I don't think so. I think that's pretty comfortably right in the middle of average.
They don't even score it that way anymore, though, right?
No, they don't. So up to after 94, they won't accept your SAT scores anymore because the SAT switched from testing general intelligence to testing what you'd learned in school thus far. So it was like it went from being like an IQ test, basically, to a an exit exam for high school
Do worse on that kind of test, actually. Would have done worse.
Yeah, I think I took the intelligence one. I don't remember because I definitely took it in, well, no, I probably would have taken it before 94. I probably would have taken it in like 93.
I think would have taken it your sophomore or junior year, right?
Yeah, so it was probably 92, 93 that I took it. So I took the original intelligence test and I got a 1090. It doesn't feel great, Chuck. I feel good saying it out loud, but it doesn't feel great.
Well, that got, I mean, that was back then very easy to get into the University of Georgia. It's a lot harder now. They've really tightened it down.
Yeah, because of the HOPE grant, which started the year I started to try to get in. So it got hard to get into Georgia the year that I started to try.
Yeah, I was.
And like, I got to tell you, so when I showed up with my 1090 SAT score, they said, keep walking, pal.
Do you remember your high school GPA?
What?
Are you pleading the fifth?
I don't even know what that is.
I don't remember my GPA. I want to say it was, it wasn't, I mean, my brother, I think, was a 4.0.
Of course.
But I think I was like a 3.2 or something.
Oh, that's good.
Low threes. I mean, it was
that's pretty great.
Slightly above average. I think it was like a B student.
I would think mine was probably lower than that. Like, I was not at all interested in school. I liked history. I thought earth science was pretty cool. No big surprise.
You got smart later, huh?
It wasn't until I got to college and wanted to, like, go to college. I just suddenly, like, turned from Saul to Paul all of a sudden as far as college is concerned and just completely started to take things seriously and got interested in learning. And it was then that I started to become, like, a 4.0 student in college. Not at all in high school.
I was
not
never a 4.0 student.
Well, I went to some easy colleges on the way to Georgia.
Well, so. My deal was and I still am like this. I have a hard time tackling anything with enthusiasm that I don't want to do. So I've always been that way since I was a kid. And so in my English classes, I made A's and B's. Mm-hmm. And in my non-major classes, not all of them, but the ones I wasn't super into, I made C's and a D or two.
Oh, yeah. And I have those under my belt, too, especially math. And it wasn't I wouldn't try. I just genuinely couldn't get math.
Yeah.
And one of the best things I ever did as far as math is concerned was I took geometry twice in high school. Mm. And the second time, it just clicked.
Oh,
like,
nice.
I understood. Like, I was walking around like I was Pythagoras all of a sudden at high school. I just understood geometry that second time around. It was really cool. It was a great feeling to just have something like that click. That was so foreign.
That's
and
awesome.
So difficult before. All of a sudden, I just understood it the second time around.
Well, and we went to school in an era when, there were not a lot of accommodations made for different kinds of learning at all, much less different learning disabilities. And it was a different time. They're so much better now about, you know, every kid learns in their own way, and we can try and accommodate that. And in a lot of schools, not every school, obviously. Still a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, I can't remember. I guess it was probably the NBC Nightly News, the national news. They have like a sweet human interest story like at the end of every show.
Mm-hmm.
And they had one recently, and it was about an integrated school in that, like, they didn't separate kids with, like, learning disabilities or physical, I don't even know what you call it, differences, thank you, and kids who don't have those. Like, they were all in the same class together. And I was like, holy cow, that's a huge improvement.
Yeah.
You know, because they used to be like, if you had facial differences and no cognitive disability whatsoever, just facial differences, they would put you in a class with other people.
All you get over here.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. It was like the dark ages in the 80s and 90s, when we were in school. But now they're just integrating kids, at least in this one school. I thought it was so cool. But it was based on this Instagram post where this little kid, I think he was probably about 5 or 6, has cerebral palsy. And he just had a little friend who was a girl who was the same age who just loved him like and just played with him. They were like best friends. She didn't seem to treat him any differently than she did any of the other kids, but it just like so touched her mom. She posted on Instagram. Of course, it went viral. And it was a sweet story, but I just thought it was really remarkable. And I was really glad to hear that now they're just like integrating kids by age level, not separating them by anything else. So hats off to school districts doing that.
I love it. The final kind of test we should mention that can get you in is if you were in the military prior to 1980, you might be able to use your aptitude test that you took back then. Now they do more vocational aptitude testing. Mm-hmm. But back pre-80, they would do intelligence testing, and you can use some of those if you did.
You want to take a break and then talk about what you do if you get into Mensa?
Let's do it. Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Hey, everybody. Did you know that Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico? But it's more than just a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Yeah, that's right. It's an island that's filled with adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the entire United States.
That's right. Or you can get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico that remind you of why you travel in the first place.
Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island, it becomes a part of you.
That's right. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcometonow. Okay, Chuck. So let's see. If you get into Mensa, there's a lot of things people do. One thing people do is take the test, say, I'm in Mensa, and, like, you know, congratulate themselves for a couple of weeks, and that's it. Other people, like, join Mensa because they have this sense, and rightfully so, that they will probably meet a lot of people like them who are smart, probably really like games, really like trivia, really like Star Trek. That is not a stereotype, that is for real. Might be into nudism, might really love beer. Just stuff that you would have, like, an interest in. But if you wanted to hang out with other high IQ people who have interests in that, you could do worse than joining Mensa, I think.
Yeah. You have to be an active member. You have to keep up with your dues, which are $79 a year. And it's, they have not a sliding scale, but they have a, if you sign up for and pay multiple years at a time, you can get that number down by average and stuff like that. Or you can pay for like a lifetime membership prorated by your age. Mm-hmm. If you want to pay all at once and save some money, but the dues are $79 a year. And then, like you said, there are what they're called special interest groups. If you want to, drill down in your local area and be a member of, like, the Mensa Investment Club is a really popular one, mm-hmm. where I imagine people sit around and talk about finances and smart ways to take care of your money. It's like any other, you know, local group that you know, there's probably a Mensa knitting group.
Guarantee it.
It's just that you're meeting with people that are like-minded and that they're all good at their high IQ and they're good at taking those kind of tests.
Right, right. And again, if you want some, like, unkind characterizations of, you know, what it's like at some of these, like, you can just throw a rock on the internet and you'll find some article about somebody who like took the Mensa test and ended up at a Mensa meetup and now they're writing about it, but they're not really a member kind of thing. There's plenty of stuff out there, but suffice to say that like these are just, they're people who really like board games and really like beer and are probably like really sexually active to a surprising degree. And one thing I saw, Chuck, that seems to be genuine is that there is a kind of a libertarian right-leaning bent that seems to be fairly common in the Mensa world.
Yeah, in the modern Mensa world, I've seen that in more places than one. And, you know, I, like you said, someone will go to one of these conferences and then do a write-up about it and say, like, there was a lot of drinking late night. There was a lot of people hooking up. It's sort of like any conference you would go to. Again, except they're made up of people that are good at taking this kind of test. But there usually is some sort of mention of, like, yeah, there seemed to be a sort of right-wing bent to and again, there's 150,000 members. That's a generalization, but
yeah,
at least that's what's being written.
Yeah. So the big deal gathering that they have every year, the big conference, is called the annual gathering, the AG. Last year they had one for, it was like a world gathering because it was the 75th anniversary of Mensa's founding, and they had that in Houston of all places. So, the 2022 one is coming up in July. It's at, the Golden Nugget in Sparks, Reno, Nevada. And they're having the Hidden Figures author, Margaret Lee Shatterly.
Nice.
Who's, I think she is the, keynote who's going to speak about Hidden Figures. There's also a drag show during a breakfast brunch. Probably on Saturday or Sunday. And then the other thing they're going to do is drink. Play games, drink, and drink, yeah. I think is what else is going to go on at the AG.
It's really interesting. There are other smaller get-togethers. There's one called the Colloquium, which is an annual thing. It's just one day. And it's, you know, they'll have like themed topics at this one, like crime scene intelligence would be one. There are Mind Games, which is a four-day board game extravaganza. Where people, this is since 1990, they get together and play board games. And a game can actually qualify as Mensa Select on the label if they deem it so. So technically, the stuff you should know board game might be played at the Mind Games Conference, and it might even get that stamp one day.
Yeah.
You never know.
Great. You never know. I mean, apples to apples got it, and our game is at least as popular as that.
Yeah, Taboo got it.
Yeah. Categories.
And then there's Culture Quest. It's obviously Mensa members are probably generally into stuff like trivia. And there's a trivia, Dave calls it a trivia throwdown, where they play trivia games against one another.
So one of the other things about Mensa that it's well known for at their meetups is that people will wear name tags, third try. And there'll be a dot, a colored dot next to their name. And depending on the color of the dot, it indicates how welcoming they are toward hugs from other people. And this, by the way, is like, this has been going on for a while. This is kind of like a long-standing Mensa tradition.
It's very forward-thinking.
It is very forward-thinking because, frankly, we could all kind of use the green dots or the hug dot system.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, I'm a hugger, but a lot of people don't like to be hugged. And it's one of these things I just learned in the past few years that, like, it, with choosing what you do with your body and what people do to your body, that you shouldn't just go up and hug somebody. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, it's just not – some people genuinely don't like that kind of human contact. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I go up and just, like, tackle everyone I see. Like, I don't think I've ever I don't think I've ever been in a situation where I made someone uncomfortable or anything like that. But it's good to realize that, like, yeah, not everyone is into the same level of human contact. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't put your norm on them. And they have a very elegant way of doing that with these green dots or yellow dots or red dots or blue dots.
Yeah, green is all hugs are welcome. Yellow is ask before hugging.
Well, that's Chuck now.
Red dot, no hugs at all.
That's you.
Blue, yeah, it should say burns like acid. Blue dot means I'm single.
I think that means more than I'm single, you know what I mean?
I think that means like lead with your hips when you're hugging me, please.
Yeah, I think so.
So what else, Chuck? What else do we have to say about Mensa?
Well, I mean, I think we've talked about their image problem a bit. Like you said, you can throw a rock on the internet and open almost any article and you'll see someone bagging on Mensa in kind of a snotty way. And I don't know, man, the more I read about it, the more I just thought, you know what? These are probably, a lot of these people probably got teased growing up because they may be fairly bookish. And like, stop now. Like, you're adults. Don't continue this sort of bullying in newspapers by saying, yeah, I went to these things and it was a bunch of dorks playing board games and trying to get laid. Like, they literally say that stuff in these articles.
They do. And so I don't think it's just out of meanness. I think whether they're picking up on it unconsciously or overtly, it's the people who write those kind of articles typically are not right-leaning. So they're picking up on that right-leaning undercurrent. And then they're also kind of pointing to like some disturbing and alarming and just straight up gross ideas that people from Mensa have supported over the years or at least proposed. And so like when you take a group that focuses on IQ and inherently suggests that some people are superior to others, that can lead you to all sorts of like unsavory rabbit holes. And some people on Mensa or that are part of Mensa are not afraid to like go down those rabbit holes and discuss them and talk about them. Free speech is a huge, huge thing among Mensans, and they very much resent not being able to say whatever they want to say. So with those articles, it's revealing there's like a culture clash between the person who's writing the article and the Mensans that are like the foil to them. That seems to be like the crux of those articles.
Yeah, and there was a lot of news made kind of more recently when a comedian named Jamie Loftus, who, by the way, has a podcast on our network called The Bechdel Cast. Mm-hmm. Great show, movie show. Yeah. Jamie's a comedian who did a 4-part episode called My Year in Mensa, where she joined Mensa. I think the story was sort of just took the test one morning while hungover and then didn't have a good experience and became the target. There's this Facebook group, a Mensa Facebook group that's unmoderated called Firehouse, which can be very unkind. And I think Loftus had a bad experience there. And again, with the sort of alt-right undercurrent. And so that's what the basis of that podcast was. So I'm certainly not defending that stuff, you know.
So, yeah, I mean, no, anytime anybody's attacked online, that sucks. But Dave, I think, kind of discovered like the genuine criticism that you could level against Mensa as a whole. And that is they're basing everything on IQ. And IQ tests test a certain kind of smartness. Completely leaves out things like emotional intelligence, street smarts.
Creativity.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. It's a group of people who do really well on aptitude tests. It's a society of people who do really well on aptitude tests and like the idea that they're joining the ranks of people who are in the top 2% of that group of people, that type of person. So the fact that it's kind of bandied about is like the society for intelligent people. It kind of misses a lot, but he also points out that they don't build themselves as that. They build themselves as the high IQ society, which is a much narrower definition. And if you take it on its face value, then that makes sense. But most people out in the general public who hear about Mensa don't kind of differentiate between those two things.
Right. And if you get 150,000 of any people together in a group, you're going to have a couple of hundred that are pretty bad people that do bad things on Facebook. So it's like, I just have a hard time sometimes when entire organizations get lumped in, because of, and I don't want to say a few bad apples, but just the actions of what's clearly a minority.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Except Nazis.
Yeah. Yeah. They were nothing but bad apples.
That's right.
Well, if you want to know more about Mensa, you can start poking around the internet. And since I said you can start poking around the internet, that means it's time for listener mail.
I'm going to call this a young listener. Hey, guys, brand new listener to the show. I first heard about you through the new book, which I checked out of the library the day before my baby was born. Mm-hmm. After my husband returned to work, I was trying to figure out a way to get the baby to sleep and tried reading to her. So I picked up Stuff You Should Know, hoping the soothing sound of my voice would lull her to sleep. And that is how my husband walked in on me reading about Jack Kevorkian to a three-week-old and put a temporary moratorium on reading to her. I think that's probably a joke. Well, I was hooked, and now that I've returned to work, I'm going through the backlog of episodes and learning while in the car. Thanks for helping me get through that postpartum period, Jessica.
That's fantastic. I'm glad you're bringing them up young, Jessica. Thank you very much. And congratulations on your little gift to the world.
Yes, that's right.
Well, if you want to be like Jessica and let us know about your late night readings or listenings or goings on or anything like that, or if you've had experiences in Mensa, if you're a member of Mensa, we want to hear from you. You can send us an email to stuffpodcast@iheartradio.com.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Hey, everybody. I want to talk to you for a second here about Canva, specifically Canva presentations that are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation. So start designing today at canva.com. Design for work. Just go to Canva, C-A-N-V-A.com.